Well, we will. The checks will be here this morning. Sure. I don't know. It might be the same bank. Does that still have to clear?
I don't know. We'll have to wait till we see it.
All right. Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. She doesn't have her hood on. I didn't
She
doesn't have the hood on. I didn't recognize her.
She really isn't.
We have spent ages on verse 11 and the other one in verse 8 about the serpent. Does anybody have any doubts about that? We talked about it, about its relationship to Romans 7. What you want to do, you can't do. What you don't want to do, you do. You find that a law. If you want to do good, evil, the evil one is present with you. Anybody have any doubts about that? Anyone blame anything for anything since Friday? Did blame anyone for anything? I'm sorry. Besides me?
The only thing was I was thinking about this enchantment thing, you know, with this the serpent. Lies without enchantment. I guess another way of looking at that is like the, you know, the little guys who enchant the serpent to do stuff, you can sort of stave off biting, but you can't change the nature of the snake. You know, so once the enchantment of the little thingy flute playing or whatever it is, you know, stops, then bite you.
Well, plus this is talking about, this isn't talking about rattlesnakes that have a little rattle in it. Remember, the word enchantment means incitement in Hebrew. So it's not about snake charmers. Okay. All right, the next verse, verse 11. No, verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. So let's look at this. This is interesting. Let's go to Ezra. We haven't been to Ezra for a while.
Back in the Bible.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, Ezra, Nehemiah, Judges, Ruth. I didn't do that. Ezra chapter 1. Everybody there?
No.
Is anybody there? John Bojo is there. I'm there, but the number won't do any good. It's number 443 in my
book. Now I forgot the chapter.
Ezra 1. Verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord, of Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem, and whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Now, Cyrus, a Gentile, king of Persia, and he says, God told him to go build this house. go, and he said he's a God. So the words of the wise are gracious, except when they don't close the door.
It's been fixed. Push on.
You have to push it. The words of the wise are gracious, so it applies to Cyrus, right? Because he said, go build the temple. Let's see what, and then, where are we? Stay in Ezra. But the lips of a fool will swallow himself up, or swallow up himself. This also applies to Ezra. I mean, to Cyrus. Let's go to Ezra 4. Verse 17. Well, the whole of verse 4 is the adversaries of, in chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 1, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the God, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. So anyway, the whole of the rest of it is this plot by the adversaries who acting like they're going to build the temple and help them. But then they said, I don't want to read the whole thing. These guys faked out Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the guy the Jew that was a king that was building the temple. And these guys came and acted like they were his buddies, and then they sent letters back to Cyrus and said, if they build this temple, these are a rebellious people. Your kingdom will shrink. And so in verse 17, then the king sent an answer unto Rehum the chancellor, unto Shimshai the scribe, and to the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria, and unto the rest beyond the river, peace, and at such a time. The letter which you send us unto us hath been plainly read before me, and I commanded and search hath been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll, tribute, and custom was paid unto them. Give you now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not builded, until another commandment shall be given from me. Now, so what he did, the words of the wise, Cyrus said, go build a city. Then there's this insurrection happened. And
just like Benny Hinn, God changed his mind.
Right. The whole point of it is we got to stay in Ezra. And then the next verse in verse 13, the beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. So the beginning of his talk is considered when he said, go build the temple. Give them all the money, give them everything to go build the temple. The foolishness of it go to Ezra 4:11. And thus they returned us answer, saying, we are the servants of God of heaven and earth, and build the house that was builded. No, that's 5:11, excuse me, 4:11. This is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even to Artaxerxes, the king, and that's same as Cyrus, the servant of the men on this side of the river, and at such a time. Be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come into Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundation. Be it now known unto the king that if this city be builded and the wall set up again, then they will not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so thou shalt in damage the revenue of the kings. Now, what does all this mean? It's not just Cyrus, whose words are foolish or sound gracious at the beginning. The words of the wise are gracious, but the lips of the fool will swallow himself up. It is the nature of the human race. We say, when we're in deep doo-doo, oh God, I accept you as my personal savior. In other words, let's build this house. And then you come along and you start counting the cost and you start seeing what's going on and you start seeing that it cost you your life. And you say, that's stupid. That's evil, in fact. This is why this is so critical. It is the whole. Jesus wasn't kidding when he said, if you are his disciple, you will be hated of all men. Can you believe that? How many people do you know? How many believers do you know that are hated of all men? If you remain faithful, you will eventually be. Is that possible? Jesus said, if they will kill you and think they are doing God holy service. Do you think that's possible? That would be your response. Did any of you see 60 Minutes last night?
We were a big group.
We were in church.
I'm not going to ever ask John to speak again.
He says one thing a year.
He just waited for that one, didn't he? That was pretty good. I'll give it a 6 out of 23.
What about 60 Minutes?
Scott Paley snuck into Darfur with a crew. It was one of the best things we've ever seen in 60 Minutes. Everyone that has ever named the name of Christ is being killed, wiped out. They're in these camps in the middle of the desert. There's no water. There's no nothing. And because the guy that's ahead of the Sudan keeps giving them bits of information about Al Qaeda because he was Al Qaeda's host for 5 years, and the American government is not prone to really. And so these believers are just perishing. I mean, and that's just a picture for us. The words of a wise man's mouth, apparently wise, are gracious. But in the end, the lips of the fool will swallow himself up. It's all of us. It's not just somebody over there. It isn't just Cyrus. Anybody hear me? Anybody understand?
They use Cyrus's words because that's like the most unfoolish thing you could possibly think of to say. Let's go rebuild Jerusalem. It's a wonderful thing. And what it shows later when he changes his mind completely.
It's foolishness. Well, at the end it says it's mischievous madness.
Even though God told him to do it.
Even though God told him to do it. But you have to see it's us. It's not just Cyrus. It's each one of us. Until we accept our death, then we will always be both the apparently wise and then the fool. And that's why you can't go through the scriptures. The only one that is, there's nobody wise. It's always a picture of Christ and his bride. we're always the wicked. We're always the ones that are the foolish, mischievous. We do mischievous madness. Once we leave the cross, then we become this mischievous madness. And that's part of what was necessary to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, so it apprehends you. That's why the serpent will bite without, and a babbler is no better. That's goes eyes with it. That's this thing. That's us. That's you and I. All right, we could go on for 100 different examples of Cyrus. I mean, of the words of the wise or gracious. This one is interesting. The next one is, a fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? Now, believe it or not, this is a fool that's full of words. It's full of, there means it, the actual word in the Hebrew word means a fool is, or multiplieth his words. And they say, of all things, that this applies to Moses. Let's look at it. Deuteronomy 3. And if a fool's words apply to Moses, tell me about our words. Deuteronomy 3, verse 24. Well, it's... No, we have to go back a little further, I'm sorry. God is talking to, I mean, Moses is telling everybody what happened. And starting verse 20, until the Lord hath given rest unto your brethren as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God giveth them beyond Jordan, and then shall you return every man into his possession which I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, and this is the part that where the a fool is full of words. O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over the river and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. So, he's just got all this, he's saying, oh God, I'll just give you all the praise and you're wonderful and you're mighty. But just take back that thing you said to me that I couldn't go because I hit the rock, right? Instead of, and then, but the Lord was wroth with me for your sake and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Do you see the majesty of this? If the ancients would call the words of Moses, a fool multiplieth his words, how much more do they do us? How much more? This is why the purpose of the law is to shut up your mouth. It isn't to show you how to live. Let's go look at that. Go look at Romans 3. What?
I think it's in Job someplace, one of the lines from God is is, who is this that darkeneth my counsel with words devoid of understanding?
No, that's run your mouth. That's when he said to Job's friends that had advised Job to pay his vow, and they'd get all his goodies back.
Didn't God let Moses go then and look first?
No. He didn't let him go over.
I know he couldn't go cross over, but he did.
He put him on a mountain, but that's not what he asked for.
Okay,
He wanted to go over.
Okay, I thought he just wanted to at least see what it was.
No, he did let him see from afar. But the point of it is this. Moses, the type of the law, couldn't enter the promise until Christ was transfigured. And then he met with Moses and Elijah. So the point, in order for God to fulfill the type, then Moses had to be forbidden. The only two that of all the, there's, if you believe Josephus, there's as many as 6 million people left, or 3 million, or some millions anyway, left Egypt on their way to Israel. Only two of the people that left made it into the land, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua was a Yeshua, which is Jesus, the type of Christ. And Caleb was who? Caleb was a Canaanite. He was a friend, and the best that he could be. He was a friend of the bridegroom. That's the best that the human race can be, is a friend of the bride. Anyway. What are we doing? Romans 3, that's right. As it, in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, that must be talking about those people over there. That's certainly not talking about me. But it says there is none that's righteous. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now, the whole point of it is that the purpose of the law is to shut up your mouth. The problem is you've got, what you've got is wimpy law. It's little, it's not the law. The law, if you read the law, my God, you have one choice: to fall on your face is dead. But you've got this little girly man law that sort of is like, if I can do this little bitty piece of it over here, then I can be better than them or they. And so I can convince myself that I have some kind of righteousness. So I'm going to go, I'm going to go pick on homosexuals or I'm going to pick on feminists, or I'm going to pick on vegetarians, or people from Ohio, or something like that.
Just going down your whole list, aren't
you? Yeah.
Swedes.
Pick on Swedes. That's the ones that deserve to be picked on. But the scriptures against homosexuality also said you can't fear and you can't lie. I mean, we just pick on these little slices that we think, you know, it's just goofy. It's all of us are lost. That's why the only hope is in Christ in you, the hope of glory. But you can't do both. You can't be in His name and be in your name at the same time. It's impossible. That's enough for today. Tomorrow we're going to see, if the creek don't rise, we're going to see what the scriptures say about the false prophets. Who prophesy out of their own heart and say, God said this. No, He didn't. Anybody have any response? Any add-ons?
It's Ecclesiastes stuff just gets into everything.
Metals.
Furrows its way in the corners.
Metals all over the place.
I like the way these guys, the rabbis, see all these perfect, that Cyrus thing is perfect as it covers everything.
Yeah, it sounds so good. Oh, look. While you guys were in church, I was watching religious television after I watched the segment. But afterwards, or before, I watched religious television because they had a bunch of stuff on 60 Minutes that I wasn't interested in, except for this last story. But I saw just what I saw. And you didn't see. I saw
Donald Trump
being interviewed by Paula White, and Paula White doing obeisance to him.
No. I'm sorry, doing what?
Bowing down.
Bowing down to him.
Who's Paula White?
In this case, it would be more like sucking up.
Paula White is a female evangelist.
Female Tilton on acid.
That's also demon possessed.
Yeah.
She's something else. Anyway. Then I saw Deion Sanders telling us how to live. It was a fruitful evening.
Tonight you can watch MC Hammer and Smokey Robinson.
What?
Tonight you can watch MC Hammer and Smokey Robinson.
I know who MC Hammer is, but who is Smokey Robinson?
So that's the one you should know.
Please. Go back a few decades.
Well, I just happen to know that because I watch MC Hammer on that, what's that program? Law and Order. No,
MC.
Isn't that no, some rapper?
That's Ice-T.
Oh, well, I don't know. Okay, I got him confused. I'm sorry. Never mind.
Something.
You're getting your capital letters mixed up.
Take it, big guy. Forgive me for even bringing any of that up.
You should never make cultural references.
Ow.